going to offend a few of you. It's going to offend a lot of you that's watching on Facebook. There's been a spirit that's been released in this land since I was here last, which I wasn't here that long ago, that I have not encountered before, that was here in this region, and I began to question the Lord of it, and he revealed it to me this morning, and I began to wrestle with the spirit, and I began to ask the Lord to loose it from this land, and he said that it came from a prophetic voice that was in this land that was operating in the spirit of witchcraft that has moved sides. So you need to understand and hear me strong. If you have a prophetic sound on the inside of you, it's a very fine line which way that you're accessing the portal of the spirit. Realm. It's a very fine line. You better get yourself in check. You better check yourself, and you better align yourself underneath people that can say, no, honey, that's wrong. Yes, honey, that's God. You can ask Eleanor. I've been sending words to her for a long time. Is this God? Is this God? What do you think about this? What about that? And I'm telling you right now that there has been a false spirit of this prophetic sound that thought it was God, but it's actually been the spirit of witchcraft. And I know that you will listen to my voice later. You might not be in this room, and some of you are in this room. But I am warning you right now by the voice of the Father. He wants you to. There's a moment of grace for you. There's a moment of repentance for you. But I am warning you right now. Woe is to you. You must repent this hour. You must fall to your face and repent. You better not speak evil of his anointed ones. You better not speak evil of the call of God over this region. You better not speak evil of the pastors and the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the teachers. Do you hear me? You better guard your mouth. If you don't, his hand will come off of you. And I saw a vision of it this morning, and I've wrestled with it all day. I wasn't gonna release it. And I saw it like Lot's wife. He said, don't turn back. Don't look back. And this is the warning tonight. And some of you are spying on Facebook. And it's good that we're Facebooking, because this is for you. I'm telling you, I know it like I know my name. The Lord says, you better turn from it and repent, and you better not go back to it, or you will be like Lot's wife. And what people don't talk about, yes, Lot's wife lost her life, and it was laid down, and she lost her life, but she also, she was not there to protect her husband. She was not there to protect her children. There was evil that came in on that situation because her presence was not there. The Holy Spirit dealt with me about this so strong. He said that I was so angry with Lot's wife, I didn't even want to mention her name in my word. So woe, false prophets in the land. Woe, you gossiping spirits. Woe, you lying tongue. Woe, you Leviathan spirit. Woe, you witchcraft devil. Woe. Watch yourself. Very good Father. He allows moments like this. He's allowed moments like this, and even in my own life, where he's come to me and shh, silence yourself. restoring fear to the house of God. He's going to restore fear and reverence to the house of God again. And conviction to the house of God. If you haven't felt convicted in a long time, you need to check yourself. You need to come before the Lord and say, convict me. I've must become hardened. Because see, the convictor comes every single day. Every day, I don't care who you are. You could be Billy Graham. The convictor comes every single day and tries to keep you on a narrow path. A narrow path. So Joel's just going to play something real softly. I want you right now, wherever you are, whenever you listen to this, even maybe later, right now, just between you and the one that can remove the breath from your lungs, you need to repent before the Lord right now. Holy Spirit, I'm not going to pray your repentance prayer for you. Go ahead and do that yourself. Holy Spirit, I repent of anything that's not of you, Jesus. I repent, Father. We disconnect from every spiritual thing that's not of you. Clean our houses, God. Clean our mouths, God. Clean our ears, God. Clean our eyes, God. Clean our houses, our physical houses. You are welcome to walk among us, Father, and correct us and change us. You are welcome, Holy Spirit, to come. I say, great convictor, come. 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 Don't let us turn away from you. You are welcome in our homes and in this church, in the churches of Alaska. You are welcome to walk up and down the aisles of Alaska. You are welcome, oh holy, holy, holy one. You are welcome again to take your platforms. You are welcome again to take your position, oh holy God that you are. God, we come before you. Done with you. Just another minute. Ask him to reveal things. If there's something hidden in you that you don't even know that's there, that you've partnered with. If you've been offended right now, release it. I release offense. I release hurt. I release frustration, aggravation. I release everything that would try to come and penetrate me. I release it now. I release the victim spirit. I'm no longer the victim. I am the victor in Jesus' name. I'm no longer going to operate in the spirit of the victim. I am victorious in Jesus. The blood of Christ lays heavy upon me. It lays heavy upon my house in Jesus' name. Team can go and just accept Joel if you guys want, if you need to. I'm going to give you just a quick example, and then I'm going to go a very quick word because there's a prophetic word that needs to be released over some. Markel, can you come for a minute? I love Markel. Isn't she so beautiful? That's Joel's wife right there. So this is what happens. I want to show you something. See, we're walking in life, and we're holding hands with Jesus. He's leading us and guiding us. We're connected. We're one with him. But see, then all of a sudden, Satan comes, and he wants to start with offense. It always starts with offense. Something comes. Someone said something to you. They didn't say something to you. They looked at you wrong. They prophesied something that stepped on your toes. They preached something that stepped on your toes. The spirit of offense can come in many different forms, fashions, and ways. And so the goal of the enemy is for you to unplug like this. Disconnect with your partnership with Jesus. And when you allow offense to come and stay, that's what you do. The Bible says that you be quick to come and repent. He says, come to the altar and I will meet you there. He says to do it quickly. You can't allow that thing to linger in your home. So what happens when you disconnect from the Father and you don't come quickly to repent and you allow your heart to stay frustrated or mad or angry or upset? And now there's many times that the spirit of offense comes and it's you are worthy to be mad or angry. There's things that happen to us that are evil and that are wrong. Men and women come in our lives and touch us in ways they should not. They come and steal things that don't belong to them. They come and lie to us and they manipulate us, pastors and leaders and prophets sometimes. There's all kinds of reasons, real reasons that you can be offended. But what I am telling you, there's a difference from being offended and actually partnering with the devil of offense. Wow. You, Markel, wait. Come on. So what happens is you get offended. And if you don't quickly repent, the Holy Spirit stays and he hovers, but you have now disconnected. His hand is always reached, but you have taken yours away from him. And then all of a sudden, I saw this in a vision one time, and it so shook me to the core of who I am. And I said, God, if all of Christians could see and understand this, we would not be so quickly to partner with wrong devils and wrong spirits. We would run from that thing if we saw it. It's ugly, it's nasty, and it's perverted. And it comes with many friends. You would never let a burglar come into your home and steal your things. You would pull out your gun and shoot them, as we would in Texas as well. But we don't come and pull our guns out and shoot the devil when he tries to come in our home. We sit on our couches and we talk about it. The devil's walking in our home and we're talking about it. Oh, do you know that somebody did this and somebody did that and blah, blah, blah. Did you see how she looked at me? Who do you think she is or he is or whatever? Oh, they think they're somebody. Oh, see, the whole time you're sitting on the couch and maybe laying in the bed with your spouse or on the phone with your prayer intercessory friend, while you're on the phone gossiping away, the devil has just moved into his house with all of his baggage. And it's called resentment and bitterness and the spirit of rejection. And it has moved into your home. And it is laying quietly underneath your bed at night, waiting for you to get into a still sleep so that it can actually come and penetrate your spirit, man. I've had many people say to me, can Christian have demons? Oh, honey, yes, they can. There's many times that men and the Bible have come face to face with Jesus and did not know that they were looking at the Savior, the Deliverer, the man that came to rescue them, the man that could heal their body. Just ask Pilate. Pilate looked at him and said, who are you? And you know why Jesus did not even answer? So many times I've questioned God, why didn't you defend yourself? Why didn't you answer? And finally, after a couple of years, me asking and asking, I'm one of those very persistent askers. He said, because if I would have spoken, all of the walls around would have trembled in that moment. Everything would have fallen. Every devil in hell would have had to lift, and I was going to see my thing through. He was looking me in the eyes and did not see who I was. There's many times we come into our churches and our prophets and our pastors and our evangelists get up and speak, and the voice of the Lord is coming out. But because your heart has become so hardened, you don't hear the voice of the Lord. So it's not instantaneously, but this is what happens eventually. Now you have now partnered with the devil. The spirit of offense, the spirit of rejection. The only reason why I know this so well is because I did it. I lived with this devil for a long time. I had to kick it out of my house and off of my body, out of my emotional realm, out of my mind, out of my children, out of my husband, out of my bank account, out of my sleep. I had to get rid of him up out of my house. So I know what he looks like real well, because him and I came face to face and I said, you know what? Get out of my house. And then I was quickly to come back to the altar of the Lord and repent and say, God, don't ever let me lose my grip with you again. So you better watch yourself. I was packing and moving at one time, and I was frustrated with the delivery guys that was delivering, you know, moving our furniture, and he was like not very successful at moving. You could tell he was a rookie that needed to be trained, and he was like banging up my stuff. And I was just frustrated, rightfully so. I have a dent still to this day on my TV stand. And so I was frustrated, and I was like, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, help me not to say nothing, because I have a tendency to say something. The gift of the prophetic on one side, the other side is not so nice. Can I ask my mama? She knows. I got spanked many, many times from my mouth. So I was praying, Lord, help me. Help me to not say anything out of my mouth. It's not of you, Lord. You know, it's all right. It's just furniture. Don't stop. You need a sound like that when you're delivering a word like this, because if it stops, your heart will get hardened. It's a sound that just moves those words. And Joel operates in a prophetic sound. So anyway, so I was just frustrated. And the Holy Spirit came on me, and conviction came on me so strong. I was so convicted, like I was doing something bad wrong. And the Holy Spirit always tells me to go to my bathroom, because he likes me to look myself in the mirror when he's convicting me. Has that ever happened to any of you? He does that to me, and I always hate it, because I have to look at myself. I'm like, oh, I don't want to look at frustration in the face. So I'm looking in the mirror, and I'm like, yes, Lord, I know I'm frustrated. And he said to me, he said, what do you think frustration is? Well, you know, the guy broke my TV stand. He put a hole. Well, I'm going to have to pay for it. That's what frustration, I guess, is. He said, no, it has a name. I said, what? He said, it has a name. And every name that tries to exalt itself in you above my name is a devil. Everything, every time, don't allow that thing to lay on you. Don't let it tempt you. Don't let it come after you. Don't stay frustrated. The Bible says to be angry and sin not. And so I questioned him. I said, God, you were angry and you turned tables upside down. When can I come in and turn tables upside down? Some of my favorite quotes of Jesus is, how much longer do I have to tarry with you? I love it when he looked at the religious men and called them brood of vipers. But you know why he did not sin not? It's because he did not keep anger on him. He did not partner with anger. It was a holy, holy thing. So you must watch yourself. You must be careful when you become angry or frustrated. You must be careful when you listen and partner with somebody. Don't let your ear even take the garbage in. If somebody comes up to you and starts trying to talk about somebody, if somebody comes up and starts trying to give you a false word that's not of the Holy Spirit, you have permission by the blood of Jesus to say, no, I don't, my ears are not your garbage cans, honey. And let's just stop, and I'm going to pray for you that you get delivered and your mouth gets washed out. I did that in this town, actually, one time. I was at a thing, and I wasn't doing anything. I was here to shake some frustration devils off of me, and I always seem to come and run to Robert and Eleanor. I'm frustrated. Help me, because I hate it to stay. I hate it. It has a stench, and I can smell it around me. I hate it. So I was in a prayer meeting, and a lady came up to me and started to say something to me. Introduce herself, and she was operating a witchcraft, and I was just done. You know, I'm just all done. I'm all done with devils. I'm all done with partnering with devils in the house of God. I'm done. I am undone. And so she reaches her hand out to shake mine. I was very polite because I have no problem with shaking hands. And I said, hi, yes, yes, hi. And she went to open her mouth to say something. I'm sure, I don't know what she was going to say, prophesy, not prophesy. I don't know. I just said, I see you. I see you. I see you. You are dismissed now. Go from me. I'm telling you, we got to get bold with our gift. We got to get bold and protect the call of God on your life. You got to get bold and protect your home. You got to get bold and protect your spouses. You got to get bold and protect your ministry. You got to get bold and protect your land. You got to get bold and protect the church and the house of God. I was sitting in a meeting one time and the conviction of the Lord came on me, and I was in a group of pastors, and I was, and it was like not a bad meeting, but I was convicted like I was going to throw up. Have you ever been so convicted you might throw up?
Yeah.
I thought I was going to vomit on all of them. I mean, projectile. I said, excuse me, guys, I got to go home. I got to go home. So I go and I run to my prayer closet and start repenting of everything I could possibly think of, every thought that I ever had in my entire life that I knew was negative. I repented of it. And finally the Holy Spirit said to me, are you done yet? I said, I don't know. If there's something else, let me know. I'll repent of that too, you know. And he began to say that there's been a, he said, when did it become okay to come into my house? So, like, I've been to Eleanor and Robert's house, and I would never come into their home and tell them where they should move their furniture around. I think I've told this to Joel and Markel. I would never come in and tell them, you should put your dishes over here. Like, that's a stupid cabinet. You should put them over here. Or if you invited me for dinner, come over and say, I would like filet mignon. And, oh, no, I wouldn't want filet mignon here. I would want salmon. Eleanor's salmon and berries, blueberries. Those are my two favorite things that she makes for me. And so I would never do that. But we have a tendency to come into the house of God and move things around without his permission and say, oh, this is the way it should be. We should do it like this. Oh, we should sing three songs and just cut it real quick because you know what? This is the way it should be because we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to do anything wrong out of order. Honey, you are out of order. This house belongs to the house of the Lord. And he wants his house back. And he wants his furniture where he wants it. He wants the song sang that he wants it. He wants people laid out on the floor getting delivered. He wants people getting set free and filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants the word of God to be spoken with truth and power that actually will bring freedom to you. My Papa Norville will say that you can go to a church and you can sit in the pew and you can die with the devil that you came in with. So, there's a move of God that's coming, that's already in the land, and it's a move of God of holiness, conviction, and purity to ways that we have not yet even encountered. There's going to be a conviction that comes on you. It's already been on my life, and a conviction that's going to come on you that's not normal to you. And I'm telling you, it's the narrow road. Matthew 7:13 says, the gates of heaven is a narrow, narrow, narrow road. It is a narrow gate. In this hour, he is asking you to live narrow. Silly things like he told me not to watch this show or that thing or this thing or that thing. Things that, you know, like if I would have said out loud to me, that's silly. Don't talk to this person. Don't spend so much time with them. They're dealing with this and they're not that he can't bring freedom to people, but the people that have turned themselves over to things. He said, no, 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 honey. Honey, come over here. You better watch who you listen to, who you partner with, because it will come and bite you back in the butt. I'm going to tell you, show you one thing in the Word of God. And this is something that started in me a few months ago. Do you mind staying? Okay, good. I know Kelton gets real aggravated sometimes if I ever make him or somebody ever makes him stay 100 hours, but we're not going to go 100 hours. It's just going to be real quick, and then I'm going to deal with the demons in the room that's trying to partner in your house, and then we're going to see freedom, and I see financial coming to this house, coming to your houses, some increase of finances. It's been a real rough season. It's been a rough, rough season financially. for many of you. And it's been for a purpose, because when finances get tight, it actually really works to get your attention. I don't know about you, but it definitely gets my attention. I'm like, oh God, I can't eat today. So I don't know how you're planning on providing some food. But, you know, it's one of those areas in life where you make a decision. Hey, God, you got my attention. So anyway, this is the season that we've been in right now. This is a season that I have been in my family, that the body of Christ has been in. Many of you, Joel and I, Markel, I know have been in. I know that Eleanor and Robert have been in. And many of you, I could pick you out, that's been in the season that I'm about to talk to you about real quick. And it's the season where Jacob wrestled with God. There was a wrestling that was going on. But I want to back up just a little bit here. Many of you are struggling with attending churches. Many of you have struggled with, where do I belong and where do I fit in? I don't fit in here. I don't fit in there. I don't really don't like this. I don't like this. Blah, 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 blah. It's been a wrestling time for you. And let me tell you, I have a real hard time too. I've been wrestling too. And I've not just been wrestling with things like that. I've also been wrestling with myself. I've been wrestling with the call of God on my life. I said, God, I sell real estate actually for a living. I said this to my mom, I'll just be a realtor forever. Like, I don't need to do anything else. I'll just fund somebody else to do it. And I actually am really good at selling real estate. I can do it really well. So I'm like, God, it's easy for me. I don't even have to try real hard. But this is nasty, and I got to try real hard. So I've been wrestling. So there was a prophetic word that was prophesied over Rebecca. Rebecca actually received a word from God that Jacob, well, she didn't name him yet, but the younger son would serve the older son. And in the womb, Jacob had, when he came out of the womb, he had a hold of the heel of his brother. Do you know why he had the heel of his brother? Because in the womb, he is formed. You are formed in the image of God, and the giftings and the anointing and the calling is in you, and it is formed, uniquely made in your mother's womb. So Jacob knew who he was, even as an infant. He knew that he was going to carry the birthright. He knew on the inside of him as an infant, and that's why he was a little confused. Wait a minute, I'm supposed to go first. I'm supposed to go first. Many of you say, oh, he was a deceiver. He was not a deceiver in that womb. He has not been a deceiver, and I can prove it, because the Word of God says when we're born into sin nature. Honey, he was not born yet. He was still in the protection of the womb, in the Creator's hand being developed, and the Word of God and that was spoken inside of him in the womb. So anyway, he comes out, and his mother names him Jacob, which many scholars say that it means deceiver, but it means to hold the heel, to hold the heel. So then his mother, knowing the word of the Lord, and this is what we do all the time. I've done it. I'm so guilty of it. I just did it in the last season. I literally just did it. I felt like 5 minutes ago. It was actually a few years ago. I just did this thing. So, one thing you'll learn about me, I'm real, real transparent, ain't I? I'll tell you anything you want to know. So anyway, I just did this thing myself. I knew the word of the Lord. So, this is what we do when we know the word of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit told me, he said, you have a tendency, I can't ever tell you past C. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, G, K, all that fun thing. I can't tell you past C. You know why? Because you will skip B every time. You go right to Z. I can't even tell you anything. In the season before, I was like, oh, Jesus, I got to know Z. I got to know Z. And he said, but can I trust you with Z? Can I trust you with the future plan? Because you always jump ahead of me. So this is what happened to his mother. She was like, but God, you told me that he was going to be the one. So then anyway, she goes and she plots, you know the story, right? She plots and she's going to deceive his father for the birthright, you know. So all this is happening, which I want to tell you, when you step before God, you pay a real high price. She should have just let it alone and let God do it and figure it out. God did not need her help. God did not need her hands all up involved. He did not need her advice. He did not need her planning and mentality to figure things out. He did not need any of that. He had a plan. He would have worked it out on his own. But because of that, she never saw her son again after that day. Her favorite son, she never saw him again because she was disobedient. And we know the story of Jacob. He then goes and to his uncle, and he then is deceived himself. He becomes the deceiver, what everybody says. He actually became the deceiver. So then that's what led him. He finally gets to the place where he had his wife, and he runs from his father-in-law. You know, he's running. You know the story. But he comes across this place where his brother Esau's on the other side, which has threatened to take his life. And so he gets to the place where he sends his wife over and his children over, and he sends them into the country where Esau was at. I asked the Lord, why did he send him over? Why didn't he just have a praying match with his wife and his kids and his cattle and all stuff? Why did he have to send him over? He said because he was still functioning under the spirit of deception, because he was trying to prove to his brother, look, I'm rich now, don't kill me. He was going into his wrestling match with Jesus trying to deceive. I was like, wow, that's real fun. So then he comes in, and he decides he's going to wrestle with God. And this is in Genesis 32. So at the beginning, Jacob is left alone. And he says a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? And Jacob answered and said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall be no longer called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with man and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him right there. So Jacob called the name of that place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, and my life was preserved. So at the beginning, when he walked into the wrestling match, he thought he was wrestling with a man. He did not know who he had encountered. He did not know that he just had encountered God. He calls him a man when he was under the name of Jacob. He did not know who he was wrestling with. I don't know if you have ever seen a wrestling match. My good-looking son-in-law, my oldest daughter's husband, he was a wrestler when they were dating, and so I've only been to one wrestling match my entire life, and they don't wear a lot of clothes. It's very disturbing. I'm like, why would any grown man do this, or woman? But, you know, they do it, I guess. You know, I couldn't do more than one because I wanted to throw up. But you can't tell whose arms is what, whose legs is whose. You can't tell. He was so wrestled up. I couldn't see which. I'm like trying to figure out who's winning because I can't tell their arms and legs from each other. And I immediately got the picture of that. And God says, it's a good place with me, isn't it? All wrestled up. It's a good place to be all wrestled up. And that's where we have been in the body of Christ. Many of us privately and in the body of Christ, we've been all wrestled up. But the problem of it is we've been wrestled up with something that we thought was God, or we thought it was a man, but it's actually been God. Because we came in our flesh under the curse of Jacob, under the sin, the sins that we had created, the sin that we have decided to partner with, the devils that we have partnered with, the deception that he did. He sinned over and over and over again. He kept messing up and messing up and messing up over. He was a great manipulator. But he came into that wrestling match as the curse of the sin of man of Jacob. And there's times God allows us to come in our sin, and you think that you're having an encounter with a man, or with you're in. How many times have you said, man, if this person would just get out of my life, I'd be all right? Man, if this church would get it together, I'd be all right.
Wow, that's good.
How many times have you thought that? I thought it 100 times, maybe more. But God is actually inviting you to a wrestling match. You're not wrestling with a man or a woman or a preacher or a pastor, an evangelist or a prophet. You're not wrestling. That's what the devil would love for you to think that you're wrestling, because he wants you to get untangled from the wrestling match of God and get tangled up with the other spirit and begin to lie and gossip and cheat and do all these evil things. He's trying to keep you in the place of manipulation. And so when you start and start pursuing God and you wrestle up with God, the devil's trying to get you unwound. And the way he gets you unwound is to keep you like Jacob. But Jacob had a fight on the inside of him. There was something inside of him called covenant. There was something that was placed in him in his mother's womb. See, there's no place that Jacob could have gone that the covenant of God would not have followed him. And there's many of us that's in that same place that you think that you can go here and you can go do this and you can do that. I'm telling you what. The covenant of God is on your tail, and he will harass you and wrestle with you until the day that you decide to go to heaven or you go to hell. He will wrestle with you. You will never be satisfied or happy or make good money or have good relationships, because you're all wrestled up with yourself and your spirits. So Jacob did not know that he had encountered God. And he says, in some versions it says an angel and some says it's a man. So then, the Lord gave me this revelation last night. God says to him, "What is your name?" Now, there's many times that God has asked in the Bible certain questions that he obviously knew the answer. My favorite example is Adam and Eve. He's there in the garden and they're covering themselves, hiding. He walks in the garden like he don't know what's going on. And he says, "Where are you?" Honey, he knows right where you are. But you know what he wants you to, why he asked you that question? He wants to see if you know where you are. He's trying to get it to come up out of you. Where are you? So that's exactly what he was doing. Jacob right here, he was saying, "What is your name, Jake? What is your name?" Jacob says, "Jacob." And right then when he said Jacob, he said, "Your name now will be Israel." Do you know why he said, "Why is your name?" Is he was trying to get that thing Jacob up out of him. He was wanting that thing out of him and off of him. Come out of him. Come out of yourself. Come out of yourself. Come out. But sometimes we got to be the ones and say, "Go from me, deceiver. Go from me, the spirit of Jacob. You go from me." And so then when he identified himself as Jacob, which I believe is a very humbling experience. I don't know about you, but when the Lord has come and I can feel his love wooing me like that and changing me, it's a very humbling spirit. When I'm very humbled in the arms of my comforter, my lover, my designer, my passion, the one that brings passion to my life. When I'm wrestled up with him, there's no other place I want to be. There's no other city I want to go to. There's nothing to look at in this world that makes me satisfied but the gaze of his eyes. I want to stay wrestled up when I know that I'm seeing face to face with God, when I've come out of myself and I can see, "Oh, it's you, Jesus. Oh, it's you, Jesus. Oh, I thought I was wrestling with this person or this thing, or I was wrestling with this spirit of offense or hurt or disappointment, whatever it is. God, it's you." So then all of a sudden he says, "Your name is Israel." From that moment on, he walked with a limp. This whole sermon started because somebody said to me, "You never trust a leader that doesn't walk with a limp, and that's how you know you'll be safe." That's how this whole sermon, when he said that to me, I felt like I got sucker punched. Boom! I'm looking for leaders that's walking with a limp. And I will only partner and link arms with leaders that walk with a limp, because they've been wrestled with God. So then he goes on in his life and he's walking with a staff. He's walking with a staff. Now, I don't know about you, and I can't prove it in the scripture, but this is my theory. When my dad passed away, I'm the baby of six, right? Yeah, six. Help me, Jesus. It's six, right? Maybe five. Anyway, whatever it is. Oh, Jesus. We all got something of my dad. I have his robe and a shirt, actually, and a little car. He sold cars. So we all got something. I believe that when Jacob died, he was leaning on his staff and he was blessing his 12 children and his family. He was blessing them. And it says in the scripture, he was leaning on the staff. I believe when he died right then, that staff was picked up by Joseph. Because it says that Joseph laid on his father's body and began to weep uncontrollably. Because he loved Jacob so much, his father. He laid on him. Then the story goes on. Now, real quick right here, Joseph told his family and he made his family promise him that he would bury him in Canaan, in the promised land. That this time they're in Egypt. And the reason why they're in Egypt is back in Abraham's day, God said to Abraham that the descendants of you will spend 400 years in Egypt. Do you know why God did that? I was like, God, that's awfully mean. You saw what happened in Egypt. You knew what was going to happen in Egypt. And you know why he had to go to Egypt for 400 years? Is because Jacob's sons, 12 sons, would start having inactive sexual immoralities amongst the people. And God knew if they were in the promised land, they would have sexual immoralities with other people. That's not their culture. And God wanted him to stay a pure line. It had to be a pure line. So he sent him to Egypt because in Egypt, they congregated him and gave him no access to anybody else. So this has something to do with the natives and what has happened to you. So then he says, take me to the, you know, he makes a deal and they take his bones. Joseph takes his bones and buries him in the promised land because, of course, he knew that they were going to all end up in the promised land. And he wanted to be there because you know why? Abraham and Sarah was in the ground already in that promised land. They were already in the ground and he wanted his dead bones in the ground of the covenant. There's something in the ground here. There's a covenant in this land and your ancestors are in the ground. There's inheritance in the ground. So anyways, Joseph then dies, and he says he makes all the generations promise that they, when they get delivered out of Egypt, that they will carry his dead bones for 40 years until they get into the promised land. Now, he didn't know it was going to be 40 years that they were going to walk around in the wilderness. But do you know why they had to walk around in the wilderness for 40 years? And I'm telling you, I wrestled strong with this because I hate it when someone says, oh, you're in a wilderness season. I want to go, get away from me, you foul devil. I hate it, but it's true. You know why he allowed them to walk around in the 40 years? Because he had to get Egypt out of them. Egypt had to die off. So if you're in wilderness, honey, it's because you got too much of the stinky world on you. That's the only reason why you stay in the wilderness, is you still got the stench of Egypt on you. So anyways, they make Joseph makes them carry his bones into the Canaan. But something that I went on a rabbit trail there for a second, is things are passed down in family generations. How many of you have somebody that passed away that you have something that's value to your family? I do too. I believe that the staff of Jacob, which is the reason why he became Israel. Do you understand? He was the father of Israel. He is the father of Israel. The staff, and he became Israel because of a wrestling match. He became Israel because he was willing to lay himself down and wrestle with God and allow God to take Jacob out of him and become Israel. And I'm telling you, he saves the best for last. and we have been wrestling with God I don't know how many years, but I am telling you right now that he is saving the best for the last, and the covenant is in the land. It's going to come and spring forth, and it's going to move in the latter days in ways that this earth has never seen. The sons and daughters are going to manifest because you wrestled with God and you looked him face to face and survived. You survived. The other day in prayer, I was just broken before the Lord again over some thing. And I was like, God, how many times am I going to have to fight this same thing, this same situation? You know, this hurts, it hurts, it hurts. And all of a sudden, he started singing over me. Survivor. Oh, daughter, you're a survivor. Survivor, you survived. You have wrestled with me and survived. But I believe that the staff that Jacob walked with from that encounter that turned them into the Israelite father was the same staff that Moses came into Egypt and rescued them out. I believe God, when he encountered him at the burning bush, and there's something about the burning bush that you must understand. Moses is walking along, and I don't know if you know this, but bushes on fire were common there. Like snow is common in Alaska. It's not like a big deal to see snow here. So, but this bush was not being consumed. And the word of God says that when he stopped and he turned, then God spoke from the bush. He didn't speak from the bush until he saw him turn. And that is the word of the Lord for many of you. You must turn. You must turn. Because God has an assignment for you to do, and a covenant that he has made with you, and a staff in your hand to strike the ground. There is a staff in your hand that was maybe left over from generation to generation to generation. The staff represents power and authority. And Jesus, when he walked the earth, he tells the disciples, he said, don't take any sandals with you. Don't take any money with you. Don't take any change of clothes with you. Only take your staff with you. And I'm telling you, last night mom presented you with an offer. Will you take up this mission? She called it Mission Impossible. Will you take up this mission? And I'm here to explain what that means. That means, will you take your staff? Will you come out of your wrestling match as Jacob? Or will you come out with covenant? God is going to come. He wants to visit you face to face. The move of God that is on this earth is not you coming and seeing my face and me seeing your face. It is actually seeing the face of your Creator, the face of your Deliverer, the face of your Healer, the one that can take the breath from you, that provides for you, that loves you and molds you and sets you free. The God that made a covenant in your mother's womb. Now, many people have said to me, why, you have such a great legacy in your family, and that's why you're so anointed, or this, or your family's anointed, and that's the reason why. Honey, let me tell you something. You don't know all about my family. There's some real nasty looking devils in that lineage also. Ugly. If I told you, you wouldn't even believe me. Brother Norval, that is my spiritual grandfather, is not my blood DNA. That's why it is so important to find a spiritual father like Robert and say, father me, correct me, challenge me. Correct me publicly or privately. When correction comes, it's because he loves you, because the Father loves you. He would much rather you get your toes stepped on than burn in hell forever. I love the correction of the Lord. I tell him all the time, you come, you come, you come and correct me, correct me, correct me, correct me. So right now, I want you to lift up your hands for a moment. The move of God that's coming on the earth is a face-to-face encounter with God. The only way that you are going to have the face-to-face encounter is if you will lay down your sin nature. If you will repent and if you will turn from your evil ways. If you will turn from your busy schedules, if you will turn and give time for God, that means every single day you get in the closet like Matthew 6:6, where Jesus, the disciples ask him, how do we pray, sir? He says, you go into the closet and shut the door. God is asking you, will you give me time in the closet? In the closet, he wants to come and correct you and mold you and birth something in you, deposit things in you, deliver you, give you a mantle. He wants to come in and do a work on you and your family line. He will come in. All of your problems are solved in the presence of your closet with Jesus. You are not delivered by man's power, but by the Spirit of God. So tonight, God is asking you, you have wrestled with me, you have wrestled with sin, you have wrestled with people and man. Are you going to allow him to give you a limp? Are you going to allow him to put a staff in your hand? Because he is the God and the Jehovah of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Are you an Abraham, Isaac, and a Jacob? The choice is yours. One thing you must need to understand is there's a move of God coming to the land with or without your, without you. It's going to happen. Without me, it's going to happen. Keep your hands up. Holy Spirit, right now, I ask you to come and wrestle with us in the most intimate way. We allow you to reveal Egypt inside of us. We allow you to bring the covenant up out of us and allow it to flow. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Holy Spirit, you began to walk up and down these aisles. You began to dine with us. You began to deliver us. You began to do a work that only you can do, Jesus. We submit to the wrestling match of Jesus. I submit. I submit. My family submits. My bank account submits. My grandchildren submit. My gifts submit. The call of God on me submits. The ministry that I think belongs to me submits. My businesses submit. We submit. Here he comes. side of the building right here. Today is the day of your salvation. Today is your day of visitation. Right here in this section, right here, where, right now, right here. Make your decisions. What are you gonna do? There's covenant in you. There's covenant in you. Robert, will you come and play the flute? It's just hovering right here, right this minute. It's coming to you next, just right here, right now. Holy Spirit, do your thing now. Do your thing now. He's gonna start right here. Do your thing now. Here it is.